Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship Jesus as your Lord and Savior with us here this morning. Just to highlight a couple announcements before we begin this time of praise and worship, if you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, this evening, starting at 6, we will be starting the confirmation class for those youth that are between the ages of 10 and 14. And if you have any questions about that, tonight will be more of an orientation class. And so we will have the schedule for everything that's going to be taking place throughout the next 10 to 12 weeks. You can talk with me or with Nick Blasey about any further questions you may have. Tomorrow, Monday, that's September the 28th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., John and Julie Estep will be leading a marriage Bible study titled Marriage on the Rock. And this will be open to all the community, married, engaged, or just dating individuals. And so we would like to invite all of those that would be, you know, applicable to come out and really base your relationship upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And lastly, you'll notice in your bulletin as an insert the calendar for October of 2015. It's hard to believe that we are entering into the month of October, but please see the events and the happenings here at Trinity, and as God leads you, may you be obedient and follow and serve and be part of what the Lord would have you to be a part of. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open up with the word of prayer as we commit this time of worship to our Lord and Savior, our risen King, and our coming Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we bless you now. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord Jesus, we especially thank you for this privilege and this opportunity, this wonderful honor that you have given to each one of us today to set this time aside for your glory. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would sanctify this time, you would consecrate it, you would set it aside for your use and your honor, your praise and your glory, that you above all would be extolled, that your word would be proclaimed, and that the songs of praise would rise to the heavens as a fragrant aroma, an offering unto you. For you, O Christ, are alone the only one that is worthy. And so, Jesus, may you meet with us this morning. May you just quicken our minds and open our hearts and impact our lives, all for your truth and all for your goodness. And, oh, gracious God, we love you and we praise you. And we pray this in the wonderful and the mighty and the gracious name of our risen Lord and our coming King, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we get ready to worship, as we stand, let's turn to our neighbor and say, our God is awesome, as we bow our heads. Lord, you're such an awesome God. You have such awesome power, Lord. And we need to want to follow you, and in our hearts, make sure that we do follow you, Lord, and listen to your direction, and just want to share that time with you and be with you, because you are an awesome God. Your presence is wonderful, Lord. And we thank you for the power you do have that we can submit ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in this church. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
At this time, Children's Church is now dismissed. I invite the grades pre-K through 5th to line up at the door. We will continue with worship with the reading of scriptures. This reading is from Luke chapter 10, and you can follow along with me on page 1612 in your pew Bibles. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the word of God.
Kind and ever-loving, everlasting Heavenly Father, we do give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory for the many blessings you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series titled God the Evangelist. And we find ourselves at the fourth week of a four-week series, and this is God's command. However, I want us all to glean and to grasp what is necessary for all of us to truly live the life that God would have us to live. And that's a life that shines the light of Christ, the light of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, into this fallen world. And friends, I hope and I pray that we will be illuminated here this morning as we look at our text. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Yesterday, I had the privilege and the honor of officiating another wedding. It was, I believe, my 12th since I've been here in 3 years, and that's like three a year, which is quite a few. It's a privilege and an honor, but I will tell you this, every couple that I meet with and talk with during the premarital council, there is a time when we speak about fidelity. Now, you might be wondering where I'm going with this, but we don't just talk about fidelity in forsaking other men and women in their relationship. We talk about fidelity and what it means to truly forsake all other things. Because, friends, you know, if you've been married, I have not, but yet I know that there are times when other things of life will encroach upon your marriage relationship. That can be time, that can be work, that can be friends, that can be material things. And friends, that's all about the aspect of fidelity. And so when we look at this text this morning, I want to challenge us this morning that before we even think about moving out, that before we even think about going to where we feel God is leading us, we need to do a heart check, every single one of us. And if we do that heart check, and if we really check our sense of saying, hey, have I forsaken everything to be committed to Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Now, I'll remind us all that when you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you basically were professing that you would be His bride. The church is His bride. You have forsaken the world, and you have committed to be part of Jesus' body. But yet, friends, we live in a culture. The American culture esteems feeling like we can have one foot in this world and we deserve to have all the material merits and blessings that this world has to offer, but yet we have one foot over here in the spiritual world and we look at Jesus and we say, hey, I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to forgive and bless me with your blessings. And as I tell all the young couples that I counsel, that would never work in a marriage relationship. You couldn't stand up here with your soon-to-be husband or soon-to-be spouse or wife and look at them and say, I want the blessedness of the union of this relationship, but you know what? I want to date other people. It would not work, friends. And so it's true with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope you've brought them, turn with me to Matthew 28. We will be reading verses 18 through 20. This is known as the Great Commission, and this is after Jesus was crucified and after he was resurrected. And he comes to the disciples in Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them to meet him there. And verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And then beginning in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore,
and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There are three things that I want to point out to us this morning, and the first is the power. All authority on heaven and earth has been appointed to Jesus. Really, the word exousia, which is the Greek word that we translate as authority, it can be translated as power. It can be translated as the right, the ability to rule. And so when we think of this, this is the reason why we should go. And this is the first thing, if we could put this up on the screen, is we see the heart of God. And Jesus says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority, all power, the right, everything is under his control. Everything is at his disposal. Everything is in his realm." And then he says, "Therefore, go." Many times in our culture in America, we go first. We go in our own strength. We go in our own power. We go in our own ability. And Jesus says, no, you need to settle your heart. And you need to settle it once and for all. You need to settle your intention right here and right now. Just as when we all came to Christ, we accepted being the bride of Christ. And when we came to Christ, we accepted being part of his body. And yet we want to do things in our own ability, our own strength. But to forsake everything. And this is why churches today, they don't experience the power of God. God has the power to rule. But friends, he will never unleash his power when we have a divided heart. He will never say, "Here's the power. I give you the power that I and I only have," is what Jesus is saying. But he will never unleash it if we are not forsaking everything else. If we do not totally commit our lives to Jesus, if we don't have an undivided heart, hear that, friends. We want to go and we want to experience the power. We want to experience everything that Christ has to offer. And he settles it for us in verse 18. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And it's his to give to you and to me. And then the next and the most important word out of these three verses is therefore. You see, when we settle that issue in your heart and in mine, he says then, therefore. Now, because you have settled this issue in your heart, you have said, I want to be all forsaking of everything else except Christ Jesus as Lord, as Savior. Then he says, go. Because friends, that's the first thing that God wants you and me to experience. And you know what? When we don't experience that, we become dejected, we become discouraged, we become all of these things. We just become feeling like, hey, we don't have anything to offer, we can't do it. Well, no, friends, you can't. Because the only way that we can truly and fully evangelize this lost world and to shine the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, is by living in his power, in his authority that he and only he has. Everything is in his control. Everything. But we want to have it our way. We want to have a divided heart. And then worse yet, we come to Christ and we say, hey, Lord, bless my efforts. Bless my speaking to this person. Bless this. And he said, no, I settled this long time ago. He's saying, check your heart. Are you undivided in your heart? Are you seeking? And this is the heart of God, friends. It's the heart. He wants to bless you with his power. He wants to bless you with his authority. But you know what? God is not mocked, and he's not going to give you or me or anybody else something if we are not going to live up to what he wants to give to us. We can have one foot in the world and one foot in the spiritual realm, but you're never going to experience the power. You're never going to experience the authority that only Christ has. It's an issue of the heart, friends. Our culture says this. I've read articles, I've read books that says that this culture that we live in America is becoming a culture that I want one church in, or one foot in this church, one foot in this church. And friends, you nor I will ever grow in our maturity. You will never grow, I will never grow in our discipling, in our following of Jesus until you're fully rooted, until you forsake all other things. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, take heart, check your heart, and choose. Choose. And the blessing that he wants to give to you and to me, it's the power. It's the power. The power through the agent of the Holy Spirit to speak what he would have you to speak to other people. It's the power to understand where people are at. It's the power to connect with people. It's the power to say things that are often hard to say. It's the power to reach the lost. It's the power. It's the authority. You're not going to get it from yourself. You're not going to get it from your boss. You're not going to get it from your family. Jesus is the author. He's the source. And so this is the heart of God. We need to understand this. We need to settle this issue in our heart. We need to say, I am going to forsake every other thing. Now, what does this look like? Does this mean that I can't watch football on a Saturday? By no means, no. What it looks like is that we come to Christ, and there may be Saturdays that God is saying, yes, forsake that football game because I want you to go. But friends, when football supersedes Jesus, then you will never experience the power. You will never experience the authority that only God has to give. So it's the issue of the heart. God has a heart for the lost. And he has called you and me, the bride of Christ. And the imagery that I have in my mind is that all of us, when we accepted and received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, have literally stood up here in the place of the bride, and Jesus was looking at us in our eyes, and we said, yes, I do, I will, I forsake every other thing other than you, Jesus. You have the lone place in my heart. Because, friends, you are the bride of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And that's the heart of God. Just as a good groom will do what he needs to do to serve his wife, Jesus, too, he wants to serve you. And this is the way, by giving you the power and the authority that he has at his disposal to say, yes, this is where I want you to go. And that's the first thing. We got to check our hearts. God is the only one that has the power at his disposal. He's the only one that has the power to rule. He's the only one who has the authority over heaven and earth. And he's the only one that will determine how that power and authority will be used. The second thing that I want us to see is the purpose. And this is the connection. And if we could go to 28 verse 19. And as I mentioned, the most important word right here is therefore. Therefore, you have received the power, you have received the authority, because you have forsaken everything else and you have given Christ the sole position and place in your heart. And then he says, and therefore, go and do something. But you see, the indication here is we're not doing it in our own merit. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're not doing it in our own desires. When we receive the power and the authority, then Jesus is leading us. He's taking us. He's telling us. He's showing us where we need to go, what we need to do, who we need to talk with, how we need to say things. And therefore, the reason that's the most important word, because it connects this verse with the previous one. And basically it's saying, since you have received the power, since you have received the authority, since you have received the blessings of the groom, the bridegroom, Jesus, and you are the bride. Now go and walk in unison, walk in step, walk in harmony with where he's leading us. And this is the very purpose. And when you and I get in tune and in step with the living Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior of this world, then your life will take on new meaning. You will have a sense of a purpose that you never experienced before, a purpose of walking in harmony with the Creator of the universe, of seeking the lost, which his heart is seeking, of speaking to those who need to be spoken to, of reaching out to those who are ill, those who are struggling, those who are broken. So don't miss the therefore. The therefore is like the pinnacle. You've received this. You've settled the heart issue. Therefore, now do this. In our culture, in our world, we place this verse right up front, and we miss the blessing that God says. We want to go about and make disciples in our own strength, our own power, our own ability. We want to baptize. We want to teach. We want to do all these things. And yet we got to get in tune with the power, the authority that only Jesus has to go in that power and that authority. So he says, go, therefore, and that's the purpose. You see, Jesus does want us to embrace the purpose of reaching the lost. He does want us to acknowledge the need of people. And this is the need. The need is repentance. It's changing. It's moving. You see, the gospel that leaves a person in the same state that they were before they received the gospel is not the gospel. The gospel will always call people back. It will always call, we saw this last week, it will always call people to a higher way, to a more holy way. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, will always lead people to a change of mindset which then results in a change of life. That's the gospel. And when you begin to see the transformative power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in another person's life, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I'm telling you what, there is no better sight than to see that, where you see somebody that is lost and in total bondage and bound up with all kinds of behaviors and actions and poor choices, and then the gospel of Jesus is spoken to them. They receive the living Lord Jesus, and the same power that God sends you and me in is at work in their life. You see, it's not only the sending force that we go in, the power of God, but it's also the power that we unleash in people. It's the reason. It's not only the sending force and the sending cause or agent of why we go, but it's the reason we go, because we have a heart. We are that which was lost and have been found, saved a wretch like me, the amazing grace of God. And it's the reason we go, to speak the truth to these people who are in bound up in this sinful life. See, it's not only the propelling force. I'm going to emphasize it. I've already said it about four times. But it's the reason. Because when we come face to face with what God has done in your life and in mine, I know what God has done in my life. He set me free. I was the captive. I was darkness, and he transferred me to the kingdom of light. And when we begin to wrap our minds around that, oh my goodness, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than to see someone that was lost be found. To see someone that was in bondage to all their own choices and the things of this world to be freed. The shackles have been released. And it's that amazing grace, the power that we go. And that's the reason. And that is our purpose, friends. But repentance doesn't stop there. It leads to belief. And then it ultimately culminates in obedience. And when you begin to see that in a person's life, it's amazing. And so the connection is allowing us to see the people that he loves, because Jesus loves people. The last thing that we can see from these three verses is the call. And this is the presence in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Now notice this connection. The presence of God only follows obedience to God. I'll say that again. God's presence only follows our obedience to him. So it's his power that he seeks to bless us with. It's his purpose that we walk in, because it's his power that is giving us the tools and the ability. But it's his power that is giving us the reason to go. And then when we begin to fulfill his purpose and we truly are going, the other previous verse, it should translate, as you go. It's a participle, meaning as you continually go, as you go to the store, as you go to the bank, as you go to your family reunions, make disciples. And friends, when you have the power, you will go. But we still have that choice. We can choose to go. We can choose not to go. And it's his presence. When he says, and lo, I am with you always, always, even to the end of the age. I speak with believers that struggle and say, I don't feel God. I don't sense God. Well, maybe we need to have an obedience check. Maybe God's leading you somewhere and you're saying, no, I'm not going to go. And trust me, years ago, I was, involved with a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And part of my role was to go in and speak with the superintendents and the school boards about, bringing a FCA huddle, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's a Bible study into the schools. I went to my alma mater, LeBray High School, and I knew many of the board members, and long story short, they invited me in, and they told me that it would be an executive session, so there wouldn't be anything. Well, little did I know, I show up at the time, which was earlier than the early board member, or earlier than the board time, the meeting, and little did I know, but they moved the time up. And there was this issue that was going to be coming up on the ballot, and they had TV channel 27, 21, 33 in the room. And there was no joke, probably about 200 to 300 people in this small boardroom. And literally, I walked up to this room and I had no clue that they had moved the time up. And I walked up, looked in, and immediately I did a 180 and I walked out to the door. And I thought, and I said it out loud, Lord, I can't do this. I can't go in there. You're asking me to go into this room with TV cameras and the whole kit and caboodle, so to speak, and ask to bring a huddle in. I got to the door exiting the parking lot, and you know what went through my mind? If I walk out that door, everything that I claim to believe, it's all for naught. And literally, I went back, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is your show. This isn't mine. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how I'm going to even speak. Talk about being frightened, scared, not wanting to do it, but committing my heart and forsaking the flesh, the desire to walk out that door and saying, okay, this is your purpose, oh God. And I'm going to tell you, his presence was with me in a powerful, powerful way. And we started a huddle in my alma mater. In the first open gym, there were 70 kids there. Now friends, that's not me. That is not me. That's the power of God, the power that says, I am going to give you the ability, and this is the reason you go, and it's the purpose of God for your life and mine. We go because we want to see the transformation take place in people's lives, and we experience the presence of God when we do that. God's presence only follows our obedience. If I would have walked out that door, I'm not saying I would have never felt God's presence again, but I will say this, that I would have grieved God because his will was for me to walk in that room, to share, to ask, and to say, Lord, and because of that, I've experienced his presence in a bountiful way, because when you experience the presence of God, you want nothing more in this world is than to be walking in the presence of God. You see, Jesus wants all believers to experience his presence. He wants you and me to walk in the knowledge that he is with you and me always, even to the end of the age. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. That's his promise. We need to walk in that, no matter what we face, no matter where we go. I was sharing not too long ago that I was sitting in a room with a group of men at the last church, and this one individual begins to share this, and immediately I was overcome with a sense of fear, a fear of my own physical safety because of what this man was sharing. And then immediately it washed over me. No, Lord, this is your purpose. And his presence of peace from the Prince of Peace, his presence of love from the God who is love, saturated my soul, and then it didn't become about me. It became about his purpose because I was experiencing his power. And so, friends, the call for you and for me and for the church today is the presence of God, as I mentioned, is always preceded by the believer's obedience to him. And Jesus does call you and me, the church, his bride, to forsake everything else of this world, everything of our own wants, desires, and our yearnings, to experience his power, his purpose, and to walk in his presence. And friends, as we journey out, he promises to never leave us and to always give us his blessed presence. So my challenge today is this. It's threefold again. It's to pray. I've said this for the last 2 weeks, and I hope it's beginning to resonate. To pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. You see, we think prayer changes the situation. No, prayer changes us. And if you find yourself, as I do from time to time, having that divided heart of saying, Lord, I want it my way, and feeling like a small child just screaming, throwing a temper tantrum, I want, I want, I want, the antidote is to pray. It's to pray. Prayer will change you. To pray, to pray, to pray for God's eyes, to see what He wants you to see. And so my challenge is this, to pray. Pray that God would bring those that need to hear the gospel across your path. Pray. Begin there. The second thing is to participate. To participate in the purpose of what God wants you to do. When you experience prayer in the transformative way, and you have the power that is poured out upon you, you will begin to walk in the purpose. And that's how you participate. You go, therefore. You go wherever that is, whatever that looks like. Because how God calls you to go is not the same way He's going to call me to go. He's going to call you to go to certain people. He's going to call me to go to certain people. And so you pray, then you participate, and then the result will always be for you and me to powerfully witness. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for this call, for this commission, Your great commission. We bless You, O Christ. We thank You for the power that You want to unleash upon us. We thank You for it being the motivating factor of why we go, and for the reason that we go, to see You transform, to make people into new creations, and we bless You for that. And so, Father, we thank You for the purpose of going, of making disciples. And precious Jesus, we thank You for how You will powerfully witness through us. And so, Father, today, I pray that we would all have a heart check. I pray that as a bride and a groom stands one before another, and they have chosen to forsake everything else in their life, I pray that You would give us all the courage and give us all the ability to say, hey, this needs to go from my life, or this has to go. May we all seek to have that undivided heart. May we all seek to experience Your presence, Your power, and may we all participate in Your purpose for us, Your bride, the body of You, O Jesus. We thank You and we love You, and we bless You now. In the holy name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Understand these altars are open if you need anything from God. If you just want to seek Him, understand your purpose, or just need a healing from God in your physical body, understand there's anointing oil up here and He could do anything, because our God is a great and awesome God.
The splendor of the King, He's clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Wraps Himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. And age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great will sing how great. We'll see how great, is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great, God, one more time for the Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great, is our God.
As we close, I'm going to ask that we sing that one more time, and here's the reason why. The God we love, the God we serve is such a great God. He doesn't care where you're at, where you've been, what you've done, what you've allowed to take up residence in your heart. He wants to meet you today. He wants to meet you this day. And I challenge all of us to check our hearts, to see if we are undivided in our devotion to Christ, our King. If you are not, there's no shame in that. But know that we serve a great, loving, forgiving God, a God who yearns to commune with you and with me. And so as we sing this one last time, know that we would love to pray with you. We would love to stand with you if you find yourself in a manner, in a way that you need to make it right with Lord Jesus. So let's sing that again.
The splendor of the King, He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. In darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great, is our God. And age to age time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great, is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great, is our God. His name's above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing how great is our God. great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
As we close here this morning, if you would just depart quietly. Now, some are still meeting with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray and I ask the living Lord Jesus to unleash his power upon you and in your life as you seek to have that undivided heart and devotion to him. May you walk in the steps of his purpose for your life, and may his holy abiding presence adorn your very being this day. May the peace of Christ and the strength of his love be the anchors for your soul. And as you depart, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be in your life. Amen.
The splendor of the King, he's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. See how great.